الحمد لله الحمد لله نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. وقال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رسول الله، ما هذه الأضاحي؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: سنة أبيكم إبراهيم، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected elders and brothers, beloved friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In all spheres of life, we will find that there are certain people that are considered to be great luminaries. They performed something that was a great feat, did some great work. So their lives are celebrated, tribute is paid to them in different ways. For some of them, statues are erected. Others, their name is put on a road. Sometimes conferences are held to speak about them. However, with the passage of time, those conferences no more attract a crowd. Those statues become the resting place for birds. People don't pay attention to the names. Sometimes it's a public holiday in their name. Nobody is worried whether it is, whose public holiday, what name it is. They're just interested in enjoying a holiday. So with the passage of time, their names are forgotten. What they did also is forgotten. It doesn't make a difference to the people of the present. However, in deen we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and tribute is also paid to them. Their lives are also celebrated. They were such men that were the choicest of Allah who came with a mission of passing on Allah ta'ala's message and linking man to his creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhi salam. And among the Anbiya alayhi salam, they were very, very great Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala pays tribute to them in the Quran and Majid. And at times Allah ta'ala wants us to reminisce, to walk in their footsteps, to relive their lives, to talk about them, and to emulate them. And one such momentous occasion for the people that are going for Hajj and those that are throughout the world is right on our doorstep. That will take place in the month of Zulhijjah, reminiscing and walking the steps of the great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hence we find Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the significance of slaughtering these animals? Millions of animals are slaughtered. Just in the Hajj itself, millions of animals are slaughtered. Throughout the world, many, many millions of animals. What is this for? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first words, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. This was the way that was chalked out and shown alayhi salam. Behind that slaughtering of that animal was the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the cornerstone in his life, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and me to imbibe in our lives, and that is the lesson of submission. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Allah Ta'ala told him, submit, without reservations, without applying his mind, it didn't make sense also, but he left his mind, he left his own emotions, whatever he was thinking to himself, he abandoned that. Allah is saying, let me do it. أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have submitted to the Lord of the worlds. So there were many tests that Ibrahim alayhi salam went through. I'm just taking you to the middle of his life. Rather, in fact, this wasn't even the middle of his life. This was when he was quite old. 86 years old. He goes through the test of being thrown in the fire. He goes through the test in Egypt with Sarah radiallahu anha. There he is given Hajar radiallahu anha. He is tested with his people. He has to leave his community, his hometown. He is tested with his father. His father said, La arjumannak alpeltu wahjurni maliya. Leave here, leave me. Salamun alayk, fa astaghfiru laka rabbi. He greets his father. He goes, he leaves. He goes through all these various tests. 86 years old. He's pining for a son. So Allah Ta'ala gave him a son. Now at that critical juncture in his life, and brothers, I want you to think of your lives and the micro tests that Allah Ta'ala will put you through with your own children, with your own wife, with your business, with your own desires. Ibrahim alayhi salam is teaching us a very, very great lesson here. Everything must be sacrificed for the pleasure of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala tells him, take Hajar radiallahu anha, take Ismail alayhi salam, this breastfeeding child, and leave them with very little provisions, a small bag of dates, some water, leave them in the barren land of Makkah. What is Makkah today? The people of the world, at one time, South African plane is landing, people from South Africa. At another time, people from Australia. Next time, another plane from India. From throughout the world, people are going there. What was the start of Makkah? You have to turn the clock back and understand what made this place the capital of the world. We don't see any place like this where people are flocking. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. People flock there to such an extent, one of our ulama said that the factories of the world know if you want to make something popular, the best place to take it and market it is in Makkah. Take it and flood the markets of Makkah with it. That will go back through the entire world. Your marketing is done. That's a marketing strategy. Because there's no place like this. Millions of people, millions and millions, regularly, every month, millions of people performing the Umrah and going to Makkah Mukarramah. But what was the beginning? What was the foundation? What was the basis? What was the lesson? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving Hajar radiallahu anha. He is leaving Ismail alayhi salam with these little provisions. He is not telling his wife what he is doing. He never explained to her, you know, let me explain to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do this. No. He just tells her, come. He leaves them there, gives them the provisions, doesn't speak to them, turns around, ja'ala yaltafit, la yaltafit ilayhim, he doesn't even look at them, and he starts walking away. Now, a woman, an innocent woman, every shred of human intelligence and all human intelligence put together cannot fathom and understand the logic behind this action. Allah is teaching us, you don't have to understand the logic behind my command. What you have to do is submit because your brain is limited. Just accept. Physical submission and mental submission, both is required. You mustn't do it grudgingly. You mustn't do it with reservations. Your heart must accept, your mind must accept. Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves his wife and leaves his son. And he turns around. She says, Ya Ibrahim, Aina tatrukuna wa tadhab? Where are you leaving us and going? In this place, La anisun fiha wala shay. There's no company, no human being here, there's nothing here. We know the woman, they need a man to see to their needs, to take care of them. Now, she just gave birth to this child. Oh, Ibrahim, she says it miraran, many times. Aina tadhhab wa tatrukuna fi hadha alwadi alladhi laysa fiha anisun wala shay. Nothing is here, Ibrahim. What are you doing? He doesn't turn around. He doesn't tell her. He just walks. Submission. Allah to make you happy. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّ أَسْلِمْ أَسْلَمْتْ I am ready. Allah, I'll do it for you. Allah, my love for you, I'll give up everything. I'll do anything. Ulama say, when he was being thrown in the fire, the angels couldn't take it. The angels came down, Oh Ibrahim, you can do this and you can do that. He said, as for you, I don't is aware of my affairs. Hasbi Allah, my Rabb is enough for me. Ulama say he was prepared that every hair on his body should burn if it makes Allah happy. I'll roast, I'll become ash. But if my Allah is happy, I'm ready for it. That level of submission. Then she changes the question. She also was an embodiment of submission. She says, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah command you to do this, O Ibrahim? The only response was yes. Whether it was with a nod of a head, whether it was verbally, that's the only thing he said, yes, this is a command of Allah. Immediately her response, her iman, it shone through. She said, إِذَنْ لَيُضَيِّعَنَا If Allah told you to do this, then Allah will never destroy us. She put her trust in Allah. Her husband is gone. Beautifully the Quran explains, he goes behind the mountain. Now you fulfill the command of Allah. But you can see the emotion in his heart. They weren't heartless. They had emotions. They felt pain. They had love for their families also, which is natural. إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَعٍ Oh my Allah. There is nothing there for them. Allah, there is no vegetation. Allah, there is no crop. Allah, I can't see any means of survival. Allah, I left them, this weak woman and my weak child. Allah, I beg of you, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ You make means for them. Make the people's hearts inclined to them. وَرْزُقْهُمْ Allah, you sustain them. That dua of sustaining us when we go to Makkah. That the things of the world, يُجِبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Everything is there. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua with such sincerity and such sacrifice, on his sacrifice and qurbani, we enjoying that our hearts go to Makkah, our hearts go to the holy lands, we love to go there, we want to go there, we go there and we enjoy. Understand who sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he makes this dua. On that side, Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha, she sings to the child as much as she can, drinking the water, eating the dates, until all the provisions run out. Now the child starts to cry. Ask a mother, Allah make it easy for all those mothers that are going for Hajj, small, small children. It's not easy, brothers. This is an emulation of how Ibrahim alayhi salam had to leave, and how that mother with that child, she had no apparent means of what to do in the situation. That is why I was telling someone this morning, it's very important if we're taking care of someone's children that's going for Hajj or even going away, how to report to them. How to report to them. That person went for a great ibadat or for a great need. We don't give them ball by ball commentary. Child is crying now. Child had a high fever last night. Never slept the whole night. No. Those people, your qurbani here, is to see to that child, tell them everything is okay. Alhamdulillah, all taken care of. Child is very happy, child is very jolly, no problem. Child was crying maybe, but everything is okay. Why they must be at ease? You know the mother's heart. The father sometimes will turn on the other side and sleep. But the mother will stay up the whole night. Now she's seeing her child is crying. She's feeling hungry also, there's no food. No vegetation, no tree, scorching heat. She turns around because she can't see her child like that. Kicking and screaming and crying and there's nothing. Now what to do? So there's a mountain, Safa. Let me go on top and see, maybe there's something. So she goes on Safa. And she looks around. She sees nothing. I have to do something. I have to do something. It's a human reaction. A human reaction in a situation, let me see what I can do. Okay, let me go to Marwa. There's another mountain that side. From that side, let me see. So when she comes down, she becomes restless in between. So she lifts up her dress and she starts running. 7 times. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sahaba, فَلِذَلِكَ سَعَ النَّاسُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Because of her running, every haji, every mu'tamir, everyone going for umrah will have to run from the men between Safa and Marwa. What is the logic? You can't understand. The whole point is, remember the running of Hajar radiallahu anha in submission to Allah's command, the sacrifice. Remember that. Ulama say a person that will make sa'i, he'll get the reward as if he freed 70 angels. 70 slaves. Get the reward as if he freed 70 slaves for making sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Anyway, after the 7th round, she hears a sound. And she screams out and she says, if there's any help, I heard you, you made me hear you. Now if there's any help that you got by you, show yourself, come. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam appears. Who are you? He asks her, who are you? She says, I am Hajar, the mother of the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Immediately, either it was his heel or his wing, he strikes on the ground. Zamzam starts gushing forth. When she sees this water gushing forth, she makes a pond around it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if she didn't do that, it would have been a flowing spring from on top of the earth. It would have just been flowing like that. She made it into a well, sort of. She made it into a pond. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of her needs. And then Jibreel alayhi wa sallam said, you should not worry, Allah won't destroy you. And secondly, Allah will use the son of yours and your husband. Allah will use them to raise the building of the Kaaba, the foundation of the Kaaba. Allah will make them build the Kaaba. So Allah Ta'ala took care of them. Incident is very lengthy. One of the Arabs were explaining. He says, you know, in that time, a woman had no significance. A woman was treated like a trophy. They had no respect for women. But for her, Allah Ta'ala gave her such respect. One tribe, the Banu Jurhum, they are moving and looking for a place to settle down. Now when you settle down, one of the primary concerns is, I must have water, a water source. They come to Makkah. You see, there's water here. There's a woman there. They could have taken her, the Arab says, they could have taken her like this and threw her away and said, we're taking this water. But Allah Ta'ala gave her the respect and that honor. That they asked her permission, it's yours, permission to use it, permission to stay there. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. The answer of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now brothers, for all of us, one of the ultimate tests come to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That now this child grows up about 17 years old. Surah Safat, Allah explains, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَا. Now he's helping his father. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a centenarian, 100 years old. He's helping his father. He's doing everything for him. And he's a very obedient son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows Ibrahim alayhi salam in a dream that you are now slaughtering your son. So he calls his son. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam knows that the dream of a Nabi is wahi, it is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no second interpretation. This is what it is and this is what I'll have to do. And ulama say that it's a very great lesson for us. That how you interpret things in your favor or how it's supposed to be interpreted. How we overlook things sometimes. They talk about truly and subjectively. So Ibrahim alayhi salam never subjected to his comfort. He didn't look for a second interpretation. He looked at Allah wants me to submit one more time in my life. So I'm ready for it. But now my child is 17 years old. Ulama say here tarbiyat comes in. How to deal with our children. The children, their minds have to be prepared. There's no dictatorship, do this, do that, that will blow up in your face. My ustad was explaining one incident of a girl. She got married. After she got married, she came to her father. She took a parda out. She threw it on his face. He said, what was the reason for this? He said, the reason for this was, the father didn't explain to her why she must do it. Didn't encourage her and give her the virtues and make her understand. He just told her, do it or else. It doesn't work. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't tie his son up and I have to slaughter you now. He called him. He said, oh my son, inni ara fil manam. I saw in a dream, I am slaughtering you. What do you think about it? He wants to see what is in his heart. Today, brothers, we got no time for our children. If we have time, we got time to give them money, take the car, go enjoy yourself. But to sit with them and talk deen, to sit with them and make their minds, to sit with them and see what is in their hearts, we'll get a shock, the content our children go through, what they hear on a daily basis from their friends, their experiences, but we don't talk to them. We don't tap into them. We don't relate to them. So the hadith says a time will come, adna sadiqa wa aqsa aba. He'll come close to his friend and he'll go far away from his father. He doesn't want to know his father. That is not an Islamic concept. An Islamic concept is we will make the tarbiyat of our children, and even when they marry, we are there to guide them and show them the right way. To such an extent that one of our senior ulama mentioned that when they married also, then somehow you try to be with them when they're on holiday too, when they are visiting places, so that you can be there to guide them until they reach a point of maturity. After a few years, you can see this child is mature enough to do the right thing. We are living in very bad times, times of fitna. At any moment, they can fall. So he says, oh my son, what do you think? Now imagine this child, his qurbani started in infancy. He's grown up in the lap of Hajar radiallahu anha. And he's going to be a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the forefather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What other answer could we expect? When he says, Ya abati f'al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, do what you are commanded. He didn't say, oh my father, do what you are telling me or what you saw in your dream. He said, what you commanded. His intelligence already told him that this is Allah's command. If'al ma tu'mar. You do what you need to do. I will do the best that I can do to comply. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. I will try and be patient. The historians say, see, Allah Ta'ala, Mufassirin explain, Ma'arif al-Quran explains. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, when they submitted, and He put him on his forehead, there Allah Ta'ala pauses. Allah doesn't explain what was the outcome immediately thereafter, what happened thereafter. Because there's no words to express this level of submission. Historians say that the son is saying to his father, my father, tie me up properly, so I don't shake and move about. And oh my father, if you want, you can take my shirt to give it to my mother as a means of remembrance and comfort. And oh my father, sharpen the knife very, very sharp, because death is a difficult experience. I want you to be very swift and make sure my blood doesn't get on your clothes, otherwise your reward will be decreased. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, he starts to slaughter. The child is looking at the father, father is looking at his child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed a copper barrier. He never felt any pain, not even the movement. Ibrahim alayhi salam is slaughtering and nothing is happening. Here Ismail alayhi salam is thinking, maybe my father, because of that fatherly love, he's unnerved. He can't make it to put pressure on the knife. So he said, oh my father, now you turn me on my face. Turn me upside down and cut from under, so that you don't see me and you'll be able to do it. He does that also and he's trying and nothing is happening. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Allah, O Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is all I wanted to see. All I wanted to see is you were ready to go through it. I didn't want your son's life to go. That wasn't the object. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we ransomed him with a mighty animal. They say that same animal that Habil alayhi salam offered in the time of Adam alayhi salam, he offered that ram for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala took it up to the heavens. On this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down that ram, and Ibrahim alayhi salam slaughtered that ram. They say the horns of that ram was in the Kaaba for many, many, many years, until a fire came and that horns got destroyed in the fire. But this legacy was living on for people to remember. This legacy of submission, brothers, when we're slaughtering animals in the few weeks to come, when the Hujjaj are performing the Hajj and going through the rituals, it's not just a customary practice. Deen is not a deen of entertainment. This is a lesson of submission. Shaitan says, I destroy man with sins, he frustrates me with istighfar. So I make him get involved in innovation so he doesn't know he's doing wrong and make tawbah. We have made this qurbani into entertainment. When we make in qurbani, we are making qurbani of the laws of Allah. We are making qurbani of submission. There's intermingling taking place. In the name of fun, a lot of wrong is taking place. Brothers, let us be clear. This is an ibadat. If I make a fair around the masjid, and I say, right, come for salah, we'll have stalls around here, we'll have men and women all around here, this is a fard ibadat, nice, we'll attract the people here. What will we say about that? I ask you, in the name of Islam, one of the ulama was asked, Maulana, you say Islamic souk, why is not right? He said, it's not right because you're using the name of Islam. Do it, but don't use the name of Islam. Don't use the name of Qurbani. Don't use the period of Qurbani. Don't use the sacred months and turn it into entertainment. When we are slaughtering animals, brothers, at that time also, 100% sunnat compliance. If we couldn't learn that lesson of submission, in the midst of submission, really, it is an indictment. It is an offense to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the sacrifice his family gave for us to get the deen of Islam and for us to get these beautiful practices. Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this qurbani? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is there for us in this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every fiber on the back of the animal, Allah will give you one reward. I was doing some calculations. If a person pays 3,000, for our understanding, you know, unfortunately when it comes to the world, our minds work very quickly. One animal, sheep, has a minimum of 20 million fibers of hair. It goes up to 100 million. If you pay 3,000 rand for that animal, that means for 1 cent, you got about 60 to 70 rewards. For 1 cent, is that not a bargain? We are spending so much of money in a coffee shop, so much of money in a restaurant, so much of money in unnecessary things because it gets delivered to the house so easy and simply. If you add all those hundreds of rands, can't we save up? If a person, you see, things are tight, things are hard, can't we save up? Someone was telling me, Maulana, you know something, the non-Muslims have something called stockfell. End of the year, they want to slaughter a cow. So they make stockfell the whole year because they want a party. They got the bride, they got the beef. Maulana, we can't do that for the deen of Islam. Make some arrangements. Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, give all of us the tawfiq. The lesson of the day is to remember the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam. To become people that submit to Allah's command and sacrifice our desires. To do qurbani in the right way. And as far as possible, see how we can do the qurbani. And save our money if we haven't. And try and do that qurbani for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.